Good evening. This is the KRFP Evening Report for Monday, August 1st, 2016. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. Only 20% of Latah County's indigent medical funds spent as fiscal year nears end. Nez Perce Tribe begins education phase of Cobell Settlement Federal Land Buyback Program. City of Waitsburg, Washington resists Nestle water bottling plant exploration, and Eastern Washington fires cause hazy conditions. Well, details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. The Nez Perce Tribe has begun an education effort for the federally funded land buyback program in which parcel owners can sell their land back to the tribe. The program will apply to shares of parcels with multiple owners. Tribal buyback program outreach specialist Sherry Green told the Lewiston Tribune information booths on the program have been set up in Lapway, Kamiai, and Orofino. Green says sellers must be enrolled Nez Perce tribe members and their land must be fractionalized. The status of ownership of the land in question also cannot be in legal conflict currently before the courts. Although the land sold would eventually go to the tribe, landowners will have to deal directly with the federal government in order to sell. The tribe's role at this point is to educate landowners of buyback procedures. Green calls the buyback program a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. The buyback program is part of a $3.4 billion settlement in the lawsuit filed by the late Eloise Cobell of the Blackfeet Nation in northern Montana, which showed the Interior Department mismanaged, lost, or otherwise failed to keep track of billions of dollars in tribal trust money entitled to natives nationwide. Under the settlement, the federal government set aside $1.9 billion for the land buyback program. The Interior Department says 245,000 landowners in the parts of the nation referred to as Indian Country are eligible for the buyback program. Since the program began in late 2013, the federal government has paid $740 million to landowners. The Nez Perce Tribe signed an agreement with the federal government in April to emphasize buyback of land with multiple owners on the Nez Perce Reservation. The tribe says there are 644 allotments with multiple owners, some with 100 owners on the reservation. If only one co-owner of a parcel chooses to sell, that person's interest in the land will be transferred to the tribe, and other co-owners can retain their interest in the parcel if they choose. More information on the land buyback program can be found at nezperce.org. The Nez Perce County Sheriff's Office has said in a statement a 40-year-old male inmate died at the county jail Saturday morning. The statement says the inmate had been arrested a few hours before and deputies noticed he was in distress while in a holding cell. The sheriff's department says jail staff called medics and jail medical staff started CPR and used an automated external defibrillator on the man. By the time emergency medical technicians arrived, the man was dead. The Idaho State Police is investigating the death. The sheriff's office statement says the man was pronounced dead at 10:15 a.m. Saturday. The department is not releasing the name of the deceased until they are able to notify relatives of the death. Clarkston Police Chief Joel Hastings has announced all on-duty officers are now wearing body cameras. Hastings said the officers will be required to document all encounters with the public using the cameras. The cameras are always on and will retain footage from 30 seconds before the officer activates it during an interaction with the public. The WatchGuard Vista brand cameras also have the capability to retrieve video even after an officer fails to activate it. The department purchased the seven cameras for $895 each in March. The Lewiston Tribune reports Clarkston is the second police agency in the region to have cameras on every officer, the other being Pullman. Clarkston Police Sergeant Brian Denny told the paper the cameras have been useful in identifying a commercial burglary suspect and in resolving citizen complaints against officers. He said some defendants are now pleading out their cases once they know their interactions with police were documented with a body camera, avoiding costly trials. Spokane Mayor David Condon has hired Assistant Police Chief Craig Meidel as the next police chief, a controversial decision because the mayor has chosen to ignore the finalists chosen in his own hiring process. Police Lieutenants and Captains Association President Dave McCabe told the Spokesman Review website, "I can't believe that the mayor chose somebody who has said for many months he did not want the job. He didn't apply for the job, and he didn't go through the same process that the other chief candidates went through." Meidel told the Spokesman Review Mayor Condon approached him about a week ago about permanently taking over as chief. Mayor Condon also said he will not ask the city council to confirm his choice of police chief. The hiring comes less than a week after an independent investigator finished a report which showed Condon and three of his staff members withheld information about sexual harassment and on-job bullying by Condon's previous police chief hire, Frank Straub, until Condon had won re-election last fall. The report says the mayor's office delayed the release of records requested by the Spokesman Review last year with the, quote, intent and purpose of delaying the production of those records until after the mayor's election. Center for Justice Executive Director Rick Eichsted said today a confirmation process is important to build public trust. Eichsted said, in the absence of the public process that was anticipated and that occurred for the other two candidates, it's critical that this go quickly to a confirmation process. There's a lot of issues in trust and perceived mismanagement going on at City Hall. We need to follow a process for our chief of police that the public feels they have somebody who's well vetted. The Spokane police have been under scrutiny for the last decade due to a series of police killings and brutality cases. 10 months into the fiscal year, Latah County has only allocated 20% of the $187,500 in indigent health care money because more people are finding help with medical bills other ways. County Commissioner Dave McGraw told the Daily News, increasing financial help through the Federal Affordable Care Act, the Latah Recovery Center, and the Latah Community Health Clinic, run by the Community Health Association of Spokane, has taken much of the load off the county's budget line to help people with no health insurance. Latah County Senior Auditor Christine Nauman said any unused money in the Indigent Catastrophic Health Care Fund at the end of the fiscal year, September 30th, will go into a general county fund to help with next year's budget. Some of the indigent fund money is used to help pay the medical bills of someone with a drug or alcohol problem, but the new Latah Recovery Center in downtown Moscow, staffed mostly by peer volunteers who are recovering from addiction or mental health issues, provides assistance and can prevent more serious problems or emergency room visits down the road. The Latah Recovery Center was started with money from a state grant. Three central Washington wildfires are likely the source of haze on the Palouse. The largest of the three is the 23,000-acre Black Rock fire that began midday Saturday north of Moses Lake in Grant County. Grant County Fire District 12 initially attacked the fire and were joined yesterday afternoon by state fire crews. The Northeast Washington Interagency Incident Management Team said the Black Rock Fire was 40% contained yesterday afternoon. The fire threatened 25 homes, plus crops, livestock, and sage-grouse habitat. A fire which started yesterday near Prosser threatened homes, crops, and power lines. The South Ward Gap Fire had burned 1,000 acres as of yesterday afternoon. State fire crews are also helping on the scene there. A fire that burned 550 acres near Dayton was 80% contained as of yesterday afternoon. The Lewiston Tribune reports the North Touche Fire, 7 miles south of Dayton in Columbia County, was reported at 4:40 p.m. Saturday, and initially 125 homes were threatened. As of last night, only 15 homes were still threatened, and the state fire marshal's office reduced a level 3 evacuation order to level 1. The Waitsburg, Washington City Council issued a cease and desist order last week to Nestle Corporation to stop exploratory work in the city's watershed. The Waitsburg Times reports about 100 people crowded into a city council meeting to mostly object to Nestle's exploration for a potential water bottling plant that could employ up to 50 people. Nestle had already cleared brush trying to determine the source of the water in the watershed and issued a press release saying it was exploring Waitsburg as a potential site for a bottling plant. City council members expressed surprise Nestle was already doing physical exploration work in the watershed. Mayor Walt Goebel told the crowd Nestle had already found two major leaks in the city's water system, a discovery that will greatly help the city. Goebel and the city manager gave Nestle permission to do the initial exploration work. Nestle Water's natural resource manager, Bruce Lauerman, told the city council meeting crowd, "I understand that when an announcement is made that Nestle is evaluating business opportunities in a community, it raises a lot of emotions. Water is an emotional topic." La Crosse Richville warehouse employee Phil Bauman has called this year's wheat harvest in the La Crosse area phenomenal. He said this year growers in the area are expecting up to 80 bushels per acre, much more than the typical 35 to 45 bushels per acre. Bauman told the Whitman County Gazette, "We're located in a more desert-like area, so it is expected to only have 35 to 60 bushels per acre average for where we are. With the last couple of years, the yields have been especially low. This year, though, it's a big crop year." Three people are dead in a mass shooting at a social event early Saturday at a home in the Seattle suburb of Mukilteo. One of the dead was University of Washington Bothell campus student Anna Bui. The University of Washington reported Bui was one of the deceased and said in a news release the suspected shooter was University of Washington Bethel campus student 19-year-old Alan Ivanov. The Associated Press reports state troopers pulled over and arrested Ivanov as he drove 100 miles away from the shooting site on an interstate highway. He was expected to appear in court today. Mukilteo Police Officer Myron Travis said yesterday, "We have no reason to believe there are other suspects, and we're not actively looking for anyone else at this time." Washington State University officials have appointed entomology professor and researcher Richard Zack as the college agricultural, human, and natural resource sciences interim associate dean of academic programs. Zack has been director and curator of the M.T. James Entomological Collection at WSU. You're listening to the KRFP Evening Report. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman. The Washington Department of Natural Resources has declared a statewide burn ban for state lands, with an exception for fires in designated campground fire pits. The reason for the ban is the drier, hotter weather the state has experienced recently. Washington Department of Transportation officials say motorists should expect delays on the Moscow-Pullman Highway between Monday and Thursday this week due to a chip seal project in both eastbound and westbound lanes. The work will occur between 6 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. during the 4 days, Monday through Thursday this week. The Moscow City Council tonight will consider a request from the Palouse Ice Rink Nonprofit Corporation for $1 million from the Hamilton Fund for Youth Recreation for a $3.6 million ice rink project. The project would replace the temporary tent building currently housing the ice rink on county land at the Latah County Fairgrounds on the east side of Moscow. The Hamilton Fund was bequeathed to the city by the late Bob Hamilton, quote, for the benefit of the Parks and Recreation Department to be used as much as possible for the benefit of young children, unquote. The fund currently has $2.9 million in it. The council will also consider an amendment to the city's Area of Impact Agreement allowing the relocation, expansion, or replacement of existing homes within the Area of Impact. The Area of Impact is generally the part of the county within 1 mile of the city limits where city zoning rules apply. The proposal would put Latah County Land Use Ordinance No. 269 into effect within the Area of Impact. The agenda item says not allowing the relocation, expansion, or replacement of existing residential structures ultimately promotes the division of property and fragmentation of ownership of property within the area of city impact, which is generally discouraged by the city due to its impact upon the city's ability to grow in a logical and orderly fashion, unquote. The council will also consider a proposed amendment to city code changing the reasons for denial of vendor's licenses. The agenda item says, quote, the categories prohibiting the issuance of a vendor's license is more restrictive than the registration of peddlers, solicitors, canvassers, as well as the taxi cab operator's licenses. The purpose is to make Moscow City Code more consistent, fair, and equitable, unquote. The council tonight will also consider a proposed ordinance changing the time period for use of alcohol beverage catering permits from 3 to 5 days. The council will also be asked to set a public hearing for its August 15th meeting on a city fee resolution. State law requires a public hearing for any new fee or fee increase of more than 5%. The City Council will also hear a development plan report for the proposed Blackbird Crossing Trail Station for where the Paradise Path meets the Latah Trail east of Blaine Street, where the trail runs near the Troy Highway. Moscow Parks and Recreation Director Dwight Curtis is scheduled to give that report. The Council will also hear a Citizen Commission report from the Sustainable Environment Commission, and there will be a public comment and mayor's response period near the beginning of the meeting. Tonight's Moscow City Council meeting begins at 7 p.m. at City Hall. Well, that's it for the KRFP evening report for tonight. There is a red flag warning in effect until 8 p.m. tomorrow night for the Palouse and Hell's Canyon area, the Clearwater and Nez Perce National Forest area, and the Salish and Kootenai Reservation areas. It means westerly winds will be 15 to 25 miles per hour in the afternoon and evening, with gusts 30 to 35 miles per hour possible. Minimum humidities will be 15 to 20%. The weather forecast for the Moscow-Pullman area is calling for widespread haze before midnight tonight, mostly clear, low 54. Tomorrow, clear, high 77, breezy, northeast winds 5 to 10, becoming west 15 to 20 in the morning, gusts up to 30 miles an hour. Mostly clear tomorrow night, low 48, southwest winds 15 to 20, decreasing in the evening, gusts up to 30. And clear skies Wednesday through Saturday, highs 77 Wednesday, 87 Thursday, 90 Friday, and 86 Saturday. Lows in the low 50s Wednesday and Thursday night, around 57 Friday night. Currently, fair skies, 83 degrees at the Pullman Moscow Regional Airport. Well, thanks for listening to the KRFP Evening Report. Coming up next, news and opinions from the West Side with Eat the Airwaves, followed by Flashpoints, the daily investigative news magazine from Pacifica Radio at 6:30. At 7:30, our weekly talk show, What's Left, 7:30 to 9 p.m., and then Fiddle and Al Chittister's in to do Moscow Live, 9 to midnight. Stay tuned for more. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman Community Radio for the Palouse at 90.3 on your FM dial and online. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscasts you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events, and the public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on KRFP, be sure to become a member of KRFP. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can mail your memberships to KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. That's KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. Or you can go to the KRFP website to find out more ways to help KRFP. Also be on the lookout for our new mail talking about the second final step to full power at 1100 watts and other programs going on here at KRFP should be in the mail this week. I'm Lee Robertus. Have a good night. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman Community Radio for the Palouse at 90.3 on your FM dial and online.